Ask everybody to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. We'll be in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11 today, the fourth commandment. If you don't have a Bible, then get one of the black Bibles that's on the end of each pew. It's on page 61 in that Bible. And if you don't have a Bible for yourself, I know you can get it on your phone and all kinds of other places, but we would love for you to have actually a print Bible in your hands. And so that Bible is our gift to you. You can take it home and keep it. As we open up, let's read together from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This week is the last command in the first table of the law. And when I say the first table of the law, Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments by saying, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The first four commandments we take to be primarily about that first and greatest commandment that Jesus gave us, to love the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We take the last six to be the what we call the second table of the law, having to do with loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now, of course, you can't separate out loving God from loving neighbor. Those are all mixed together. But what Jesus did is he summarized the entire moral law of God in those two statements. And these Ten Commandments are also a summary of God's entire moral law, which is very broad. And we have seen now, and we'll see today, the end of the first table of the law. And just to let you guys know what we're doing in the sermon series and where we're going today, as we finish up that first table, we're going to take a break from the Ten Commandments for the month of December. And in December, we're going to look at some various passages of Scripture having to do with God sending His Son to be our Redeemer. The need for redemption that God has sent to us. And then in January, we will come back to the Ten Commandments and finish those up with the last six, with the second table of the law. But today, we're getting into this fourth commandment having to do with the Sabbath day. This command to keep one whole day in seven holy unto the Lord by His design, by His command. To quote the 1980s, everybody's working for the weekend, right? That's what the 1980s said. I know there was a band that said that. We relate to that. I bring that up because everybody who hears that song can relate. There's the idea that I'm working. There's some goal, there's some rest, some sort of a break that I'm working toward. And it is not just, I want to bring that up because we see that it's not just something that God has given to Christians or even before us to those who knew the same God prior to the coming of Christ. It is to all creation. It's a creation mandate. It's something that God built in right into the way that He created. In 6 days and on the seventh day, He rested and made that seventh day holy. That's the reason that people feel this, is that that's how God has made us and set up creation. It doesn't matter whether you understand who God is or not. Everybody has built into us, I need a break every week. I need a break every week. Now, and to many, it's just as simple as that. I'm working for the weekend. I'm going to work. I'm going to take a break. This is good. But we as Christians, we have an opportunity not just to have a day that's a break, but the day that God has given us as a blessed gift to be kept holy unto Him. And that's the Sabbath day. So first of all, I want to ask, what is the Sabbath, and is it still a command for us? Well, the Sabbath is one whole day in seven as a gift to rest and to enjoy God and His finished work. One day in seven to rest and enjoy God in His finished work. Right? Now, some would say, well, the word Sabbath means seventh. Well, sort of. it came to mean that in some senses because at this point, it was the last day of the week that was set aside as the Sabbath day. And so to say the Sabbath day and to say the seventh day were the same thing for a very long time. What the word Sabbath actually means is stoppage, the day when things stop. And so God has given us a day when things stop. It used to be the seventh day of the week, and with the resurrection of Jesus, as we're going to see in a minute, God moved it to the first day of the week, but it is still one whole day out of every seven that God has given us that He's assigned when things need to stop so that we can keep it holy to God. Is the command still in place? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say yes, right? Talked about that a little bit when we were in Exodus chapter 16, in the place where God clearly was giving this command, and I don't think it was a new command at that point even, to the people in the wilderness before there was the Ten Commandments given. And as we were talking about that, I laid out to you a little bit of my own understanding of this and how God has taken me through back to seeing, I think God really still does mean all 10 of the Ten Commandments to be in place for us. But just to summarize a little bit, for one thing, just thinking about, is this still a command to keep the Sabbath? Well, for one thing, you look around at Christians, and it seems to be on every Christian's conscience, regardless of what theological position they have taken or what theological position they have not taken, or not really even thought about it. It seems to be on everybody's conscience. Why do I say that? It's because Christians tend to make excuses about why they missed worship on Sunday when they miss it. If the Sabbath's not in place, why do we even feel the need to bring that up? Sorry that I missed it? Well, if you don't think that it's something that's in place, why would it matter? Or if you had a time when you couldn't be in church on a Sunday, it's really common, even for Christians who don't believe that the Sabbath command is still in place, it's still common for them to just get this gut feeling, we've got to worship today anyway, and to have something like a family worship time together, which is not by any means a bad thing to do, but you just see that, it's on their conscience. They know that there's something about this day that God has set apart as holy. We celebrate, we as Christians, we celebrate and respect when a high-quality business makes the decision to close on Sundays despite the revenue that they might lose, because we just see that. We see that's a good thing that they're doing. And we also, we see it seared in our consciences because we long for time to be more deeply devoted to God. And I think every Christian has, there may even be a sort of a list that you have kind of building in your head. Maybe it's even a written down list of things that you want to do out of devotion to God. You think to yourself, I really, really want to study the book of Jeremiah, but I've just never gotten around to it. Or I really, really, really want to start reading through the works of Jonathan Edwards, but I've never gotten around to it. Jonathan Edwards, of course, being someone who wrote lots of works of theology and understanding the Bible. Well, it's just an example, but when you long for that time and you never seem to get it, and you're not keeping the Lord's day holy, that's just a searing of the conscience. God has given us a whole day out of seven to be devoted to Him. So that's just one example of how we see that. God gives us that time. We also, one more way that we see it on Christian consciences is we get discouraged when our brothers and sisters in Christ decide to spend their Lord's Day somewhere other than with us at church. Don't you know that? I know you feel it as much as I do. When you come into this room on a Sunday morning and it's full, it's just really encouraging. It's like, look, our brothers and sisters know that this is where we need to be today. And it's kind of discouraging when they don't seem to know that. Because we all know that this is the day that God has set aside for us, that this is where we get together and meet with Jesus. I do think also that the Sabbath is part of the eternal moral law of God. Just to remind you of something that we have looked at together already in introducing the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments are a summary of what God always has and always will have in place as His moral law. You see this in a few ways. One is that they're unique. The Ten Commandments are unique in the way that they're spoken of in the Bible. And this is all 10 of the Ten Commandments, which is, for one thing, that these are the only commandments that God, in his actual booming voice with lightning and darkness and clouds, that he actually spoke aloud to all the people of Israel, which made them cower in fear hearing these words. This is the Ten Commandments that he spoke. They're the only commandments that God wrote on tablets by his own finger. They're the only commandments that were placed in the Ark of the Covenant. They're the only ones that are called not just commandments of God, but the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 34, verse 28. These commandments, they were in place before Mount Sinai. We talked about that, how we can see each and every one of the Ten Commandments reflected before you get to them in the Bible. And you can see all ten also reflected and still in place today in the way that the New Testament speaks of these commands. And again, we've already talked about that, so I won't go through and repeat all of that. But we see that the Ten Commandments, the way we view these, is that these are the summary of the eternal moral law of God, and the Sabbath day, the Sabbath command, is included in that. Now, that doesn't mean that there has been no change in the way that the Sabbath looks. Just like mankind has always been called to worship, and yet the way that that worship happens has looked different depending upon where you are in the history of God's redemption. You know, we don't sacrifice goats up here. And the reason is because God, in sending Jesus Christ, changed the way that our worship was so that we look and we see and understand those bloody sacrifices were leading up to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus. And in the same way, he changed some things about the way that the Sabbath looks with his death and resurrection. There's actually four different distinctions that you can see in the Bible of the way that the Sabbath is in place across eternity. For one thing, there's the creation Sabbath. Okay, this is in Genesis chapter 2, as God has finished creating in 6 days, he says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." See, God instituted this Sabbath in his very creating work, where on the very first day, did you ever think about that? The first full day that Adam was alive was a rest day. He was created somewhere in the day, on the sixth day of creation. And then his first whole day alive was a day to just enjoy the finished work of God. God made that creation Sabbath. And then in the Bible, there is what we call the Exodus Sabbath, or the Sabbath of the Old Covenant that we have right here. It's not just in the Ten Commandments, but as we go through Exodus, we'll see different ways that there were specific ceremonial regulations about how to keep the Sabbath. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that the Pharisees added later, right? Jesus was very, very clearly against the Pharisees' added regulations. I'm talking about the ones, though, that are the actual ceremonial regulations that were put in place in places like the book of Exodus. And those things have changed in Christ's fulfilling the ceremonial aspects of the law. In his perfect life, in his perfect death for us as our perfect sacrifice, in his resurrection, we're no longer bound by the ceremonial parts of the law. And what he's led us into now is what we call the resurrection Sabbath, or the Christian Sabbath, or as the New Testament calls it most often, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Jesus didn't say that he was abolishing the Sabbath. What he said about it is that he is Lord of the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. His death and his resurrection changed the Sabbath, and things like fulfilling all those ceremonial regulations and in moving it off of the last day of the week to the first day of the week to show, hey, this is there is a new creation that has begun when Jesus got up out of the dead, out of the grave. Can you imagine that? People who you remember when Jesus rose from the dead, this is still considered part of Judaism, really, is the people who were following Jesus were just understanding Jesus is the Savior of the Jews and we're following him. Why would those people suddenly move their day of worship from Saturday to Sunday when it had been in place for thousands of years? Well, it's because something happened that was so massive that it immediately moved it, which is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And they all got it. And they all understood the first day of the week is when we gather to worship now. You know how they all got it? It's because Jesus showed it to them. It tells us in John chapter 20 that it was on the first day of the week that he rose from the dead. And then that night, on the first day of the week, his disciples were gathered together. And they had this locked door. They were in a closed room. And Jesus came and he appeared to them and met with them on the first day of the week. Thomas wasn't there. He didn't believe it when he heard that Jesus was risen and had met with the disciples. So you know when Jesus came back and showed himself to Thomas? The next Sunday. When the eighth day after that, on the next Sunday, they were gathered together again, and Jesus came again to their gathering, showed himself to Thomas, and was there with the others. Now, we don't know specifically. It's possible that he gathered with them every Sunday until his resurrection, but it was pretty clear in the way that Jesus did this. The disciples were clear right away. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, and Sunday is the day that he gets together with us. Sunday is the day when we gather together to meet with Jesus. So they called it the Lord's Day, or as we sometimes call it now, the Christian Sabbath. You see this reflected in the New Testament places like Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, where the disciples are gathering on the first day of the week. It's called the Lord's Day in Revelation 1, verse 10, and that's what we call it. And there were still some people, even in those days, there were people who were confused. Wait, we know we should get together on the first day of the week because that's the day Jesus rose. This is the day Jesus met with his disciples after he rose. But what about Saturday? Should we still keep that Sabbath Saturday? And the Bible essentially says no. So Colossians 2:16, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to festival or new moon or a Sabbath. Saying there were some who were still thinking, I just don't know if I can let go of that seventh day Sabbath. And the Bible says, you can let go of that. We have the Lord's Day now, the first day of the week. Here's what our own statement of faith at this church says. It says, we have a section, a paragraph in there called Of the Christian Sabbath. It says, we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day, or Christian Sabbath, and is to be kept sacred to religious purposes by the devout observance of all the means of grace, both private and public, and by preparation for that rest that remaineth for the people of God. So there was the creation Sabbath, there was the Exodus Sabbath, now there is the Christian Sabbath, or resurrection Sabbath, called the Lord's Day, and then there's one more that's coming. It's the final Sabbath. It is that final rest that we will have in the presence of Christ. And that's what this is all pointing toward, is that we're going to go and be with Jesus. Now, when you're with Jesus in heaven, in that intermediate state where you're waiting for the resurrection, and when you're with Jesus after he returns and puts your soul and your body back together in the resurrection of the dead, when you're with Jesus for all eternity, you will still have work to do. But it's not going to be painful work. It's going to be joyful work where there is no element of, boy, I wish I wasn't doing this. And you know what we're going to have? We're going to have what we call rest, eternal rest in Jesus Christ. So when we meet together on the first day of the week, when we keep this day as a day that's holy to the Lord, part of what's built into that is we're saying, I'm looking forward to heaven. There is going to come a day when not only will I take a day off from work, God's going to take me off the earth altogether. And I am going to rest in the finished work of God forever. And he gives us a day out of every week to do that here and now. The Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath. What does this law tell us to do, tell us not to do? This is the way we've been looking at every law in these Ten Commandments, is what does it tell us not to do? What does it tell us to do? And then how does it drive us to grace? Those are essentially the three ways that the New Testament tells us that God uses his law. It restrains evil, it promotes godliness, and it drives us to grace because it shows us that we're sinners against it. So how does it do that? Well, I want to start today with talking about how it promotes godliness. You thought, well, he started a while back. Well, okay, you're right. But let's look at how does this law promote godliness? Because the three commandments that came before all started with things not to do, right? You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. But this one starts on something to do. So that's where we're going to start. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All right? So what does it tell us to do in this command? Well, the first thing is to remember the Lord's day. And this is not something that it says in the command just to do on the Lord's day. When do you remember the Sabbath day? You remember the Sabbath day every day. Because we're looking forward to it all the time. We're looking forward to heaven all the time. And in the meantime, we're also looking forward to that one day out of seven that God has set aside as a gift to us for our rest and for our enjoyment of God. When he says, remember the Sabbath day, there's one little hint built in there that this is not something that was new to the people. They couldn't remember something that was completely out of the blue, just made up on the spot in the Ten Commandments. It was in place before that, but it's more than just saying it was already in place. It's saying, here's what to do on a regular basis. Remember the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a holiday that God has built into every week for us to look forward to. Why do I say holiday? Well, it's a day that God has told us to keep holy. That's where the word holiday comes from, holy day. Now, there's actually, in the New Testament, there's no other holy days prescribed in the calendar. Now, there's some days that we, in our Christian freedom, that we observe and enjoy anyway, things like Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. And you may be surprised that those things are actually not prescribed in the New Testament. We're free to do them, we're free not to do them. But the thing that is prescribed as a holiday that God has given us is the thing that's every week, the day when Jesus rose from the dead. And he's told us, remember that. What do you do with a holiday? Well, you look forward to it, right? I hope you do. I hope you've been looking forward to Thanksgiving. We're having Thanksgiving this week. You know, in our house, we've been planning for Thanksgiving for a long time. Things having to do with travel plans for my parents who are here, which is fantastic. I'm glad you guys are here. Things having to do with getting ready, how we're going to have this meal, all sorts of stuff. God has told us, remember the Sabbath day. Remember to keep it holy. So we can look forward to it on a regular basis. What do you do when you're getting ready for a holiday? You're getting ready for vacation. If you really want to enjoy it, you work ahead so that there's not going to be tasks hanging over your head, right? You can do that with the Sabbath day. You can work ahead so there won't be things hanging over your head on the Lord's day. You plan what you're going to do with your time. Because if you don't plan what you're going to do with your time, then you're probably just going to sit around and watch TV, right? That's something that you can do. As you remember the Sabbath day throughout the week, you can think and plan, what am I going to do to honor the Lord on this upcoming Lord's day? If you don't work ahead, if you don't plan in advance for things like your vacation from work, you know what's going to happen? You're going to run into your vacation time and you're going to think, I don't know what to do with myself. I didn't even think about this beforehand. You may even think, I can't take vacation right now. Things are busy. I've got to move this vacation to some other time. But you know what? If you're looking forward to it and you're planning for it and you're working ahead, you're going to arrange things so that everything's in place, so that your plans are in place, so that you can put away your phone and not answer your emails, I hope. And you can say, I am going to take this time. I've worked and I planned for it. That, I think, is what God is getting across when he says, remember the Sabbath day. It is so easy to just say, yeah, there's always going to be another day to get these things done. But God says, plan for this. Plan for the gift that I'm giving you of a holiday every week on Sunday. It's good. It's good. And not just remember it once a week, but plan for it. In general, remember it when you plan your week, when you plan your calendar months ahead. Remember the Sabbath when you give your boss the hours that you're available to work. Remember the Sabbath when you're looking for a job. If it's possible for you to get a job where you don't have to work on Sundays ever, that is ideal, Christian. That's ideal. Now you may be in a situation where you say, well, I could get this job that pays 25% more, but I'm going to work on Sundays regularly. Trust God. It's okay. You can trust God. He's going to provide for you. He's set it up to give you this day. And when we say, well, but I might be financially improved if I just, you know, maybe some Sundays I'll get off. Plan for it when you're looking for a job, right? Plan for it. Now, you may also say, well, I have the kind of job where somebody has to do it on Sunday. You know what that's called? It's a work of necessity. And Jesus talked about those kinds of works. He said, on the Sabbath day, if your beast falls into a pit, won't you get it out? And in the same way, he talks about works of mercy, where he healed people on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees looked at that and said, that is work. He should not be doing that. And maybe you have an actual vocational job that is a work of necessity or mercy. This could be something like a police officer, a nurse in a hospital, various things like that where something just has to get done on that day. Well, I would still encourage you to remember the Sabbath when you are looking for a job, because you might still, by necessity or mercy, you might still have to go into work some Sundays. But don't plan to go get a job where every Sunday you're going to be out. Don't plan to go get a job where you won't get Sundays off until you have worked there 20 years and get seniority. All right? Remember the Sabbath. Remember it. Remember the Sabbath when you are looking for sports and activities to sign your kids up for. If your kids are a little bit more talented at soccer than they are at, I don't know, I don't even want to name sports because I don't even know which ones meet on which days anymore. But maybe you say to yourself, well, my kid's a little bit better at this sport, and if he goes all the way, it's definitely going to be 6 months out of the year when he can't go to church on Sundays, because this is going to be very important for him to play on that team. It's okay if your kid does a sport that he's not quite as good at, or that she's not quite as good at. Remember the Sabbath day. Remember it when you're planning for your family. Remember it when you plan your vacations. When you go on vacation, this is not suddenly, well, the Lord's Day is not the Lord's Day anymore. You know, maybe you would say to yourself, well, we just got here last night. We got to get on the beach Sunday morning. It's the Lord's Day. It's the Lord's Day. Enjoy the Lord. Trust that He's going to actually give you more joy in a church that you find to visit, that you've planned to go to on that Lord's Day, than you would out there getting yourself some skin cancer. Okay? And now here's the question. What if you haven't planned for it? What if you... Oh, by the way, remember the Lord's Day on Saturday night? Go to bed. All right? Set your alarm. Remember the Lord's Day. But if you get to Sunday and you haven't planned, and you say, well, I haven't remembered the Lord's Day all this time, I guess I'm going to have to skip it. Well, go anyway, all right? Just still give it to the Lord, even if you haven't planned ahead. It's good. You don't add to, you know, you don't fix sin by adding more sin. You don't, if you've lied, the solution is not lie some more to keep it covered up, right? If you haven't remembered the Sabbath throughout the week, the solution is not, I guess I'll skip everything. So we still want to come and keep it holy anyway. But he said, remember the Sabbath. The Sabbath is both a command and a gift. Here's some of the commands. Deuteronomy 5:12, the way that it's put, the same command as the Ten Commandments are given in Deuteronomy 5, observe the Sabbath to keep it holy. He doesn't just say remember, he says observe, do it. Isaiah 58:13 says, turn back your foot on the Sabbath from doing your pleasure on my holy day. So it's a command, but it's also a gift, because in that same verse where it says, turn back from doing your pleasure, it says, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. He's saying, make a decision to delight in the Lord's day as a gift that he has given you that is good for you. He says in Exodus 16:29, see, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. It's not just a command. It is a good gift that God gave us. Several years ago, I served on the staff of a church in Colorado, and that church gave sabbatical to its pastors every 7 years. And in my time there, I watched four other pastors take sabbaticals, and it was interesting to see them do that and to plan for that, because for some of them, it was harder than for others even to get their minds around the idea of taking a couple of months off from church ministry. They would think, how could I possibly do this? How is the church, how is the ministry that I oversee going to keep going? And yet, when they planned for it, when they thought about it, when they did it, and they actually went off and they took that time, it was a huge blessing to them. It was both a duty that the church put on them to say, you pastors, you will take a sabbatical every 7 years. And it was very hard for them to do that sometimes. But when they did it, it was a massive gift. But here's what God has given us. Every week, God has given you both the duty, which at times is going to feel to you burdensome. And I'm just going to say to you, go ahead and do the hard work of remembering the Sabbath and planning to keep it holy. Because when you get to it, you will feel the lifted burden that God is giving you rest in keeping this day holy. It is both a command and a gift, and we ought to remember it. We ought to prepare for it. Another thing that this commandment says to do, is to work 6 days in preparation for the Lord's day. It says, verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, I've got to say really quickly, there are some who have taken this command to mean you must never, ever take any other day off. And I don't think that that's accurate. I think that it's okay to take vacation time from work. I think it is okay if you have a 5-day work week at your job instead of a 6-day work week at your job. I think the point of this command is we ought to be people who are not lazy in our work. And in not being lazy in our work, in actually working hard at what God has given us to do, we are to remember and to plan ahead and to work hard toward the day of rest that he's given us every week. I think what he's getting at here is you can take the 7th day from me because I have given you 6 other days to take care of your business. Do that. Take advantage of these 6 days. Keep a day that's my gift to you to enjoy me. The Sabbath. Now, one of the things you see here too is people are always going to have to work. Every once in a while you hear a politician or someone else say, well, there's coming a time when machines will take all our jobs and nobody will be able to make any money anymore because we won't have anything left to do. Never going to happen. Never going to happen. Because it's built in right here. If it were going to happen, it would have happened by now. We've got a lot of machines. Think of all the stuff this little machine right here does. And yet, you know what? It does not lighten my burden for 6 days. And sometimes it even tries to drag me down into burdens on the 7th day, right? Machines aren't going to do it, but God has given us this rest, this diligent preparation for rest and the rest itself. Here's something that I love this quote by A.W. Pink. He's talking about the Sabbath command. He says, the more faithfully we keep this command, the better shall we be prepared to obey the other 9. The more faithful we are to work ahead toward the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath, to use it as building up in preparation for what's to come in the next 6 days, if you feel like your wheels are just spinning in your spiritual life, here's a starting place. Start planning your time around God's schedule instead of planning God's time around your schedule. And God will use that to really help you in your keeping of his law and your delighting in him, not just on that one day of the week, but throughout your time and your life. Well, another thing that we're told to do here is to rest in God's finished work. So he says, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. He says, don't work on that day. That's essentially just the summary of the command. It's a day for us to rest from our labors. It's a day for us to realize that God's work is finished. In that creation Sabbath, it was set up as a day to look and remember God has finished his work of creation. And in this Exodus Sabbath, it's a day where he says, he bases it on that creation mandate. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He says, remember that creation work that's finished. And the way he words it in Deuteronomy 5, he tells them to remember not just his creation work, but also his work of redeeming them. Here's the way that it's put in the command in Deuteronomy. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. He's telling the people of Israel, just remember who he's talking to in the immediate context where he gives the Ten Commandments. You just came out of a lifetime of slavery where you did not have the option to keep the Sabbath. And I have rescued you out by my mighty hand, and I have given you not just the command, but the beautiful gift to enjoy that my work is finished. Creating you, redeeming you, take this day off to enjoy what I have done for you. That God's work is finished. You see it so beautifully in the Christian Sabbath, that the very fact that it's been moved to the first day of the week, it's a reminder every week that Jesus rose from the dead and that Jesus finished the work for us. I love the picture that's there. The first day of the week is the day that God has given us as our day of rest now. It's a reminder that we depend not on our own works, but on God's finished work for our salvation. And Jesus can call out to us and say, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Trust in Jesus' finished work. And that one day out of seven is just one way that we can show, but a way that he has blessedly given us to trust in his finished work. Jesus made exceptions for works of necessity and works of mercy, as I mentioned just a minute ago. And lots of people want to know, well, can I do recreational activities on Sunday? Can I go and have fun? Can I play soccer in the backyard? Can I watch football on TV? Here's the short answer. Probably so. That's probably okay. Now, there have been places and times in Christian history where they said, absolutely not, because Isaiah 58 says, turn back your foot from doing your pleasure on the Sabbath day. So some have taken that to mean, well, you can't do any recreational activities that you might enjoy. Others have taken that to mean, as I take it to mean, don't make the Sabbath day another money-making day. That's the context, is that there is this built-in desire for us to make money. And we think, well, if I stop on Sunday, this might hurt my bottom line. Or I could improve my bottom line if I keep going on Sunday. And so I think when he says, turn back your foot from doing your pleasure, that's what he's saying. Is don't chase, take this day to stop chasing after money and doing your work. And then Jesus, when he talks about it, he says, God has not made man for the Sabbath. He's made Sabbath for man. So I love the story of, there was a Scottish minister. I don't know for sure if this is a true story, but I want it to be, so I'm going to tell it. But in the 1500s, there was this Scottish Presbyterian minister who wanted to go see the great reformer John Calvin, and he traveled to Geneva in Switzerland and went to visit John Calvin, and he approached Calvin's house on a Sunday afternoon and was shocked to find Calvin out in the grass playing a game of lawn bowling. And said, how could you be doing this? But it was just simply, God made the Sabbath for man. We can enjoy ourselves. But at the same time, if your recreational activities are going to detract from keeping this day holy to God, if it's going to be, I'm going to enjoy my games instead of enjoying God, if you are sitting in church saying, I cannot wait to get out of here so that I can go turn on the football game. I cannot wait to get out of here so that I can go and play softball or whatever other recreational activity it is. That's probably some fruit that's not so good that you need to think about. And it may be evidence that there's something that's creeping into a place of worship in your heart that's not God. And if that's the case, if you're thinking, how can I get out of my enjoyment of God to my enjoyment of recreation today, that probably ought to be something that you cut out. Maybe not just on Sundays either, all right? But God has given us the Sabbath to enjoy. So how do we keep it? Do you guys want a list of what you can and cannot do? Would that help? I'm not going to give you that. You know what? The Pharisees did that. That was the idea of the Pharisees. We don't quite get how to keep the Sabbath, so let's get generation after generation of teachers to tell us exactly what can and cannot be done on the Sabbath day. And Jesus came and just blew that apart. He said, you are teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So I'm not going to give you a list, but I will give you four words that come from a great book by Bruce Ray called Celebrating the Sabbath. Bruce Ray, by the way, is one of the founders of the group of churches that were a part of the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals, the Fire Fellowship. But in his book, he lists these four things. Keep the Sabbath holily, happily, honestly, and humbly. If you want a list, write down those four words. Get out your pen, write those things four down. Holily. Don't think of Sunday as part of the weekend. Don't just lump it in and say it's just another second Saturday where I'll usually go to church. Think of the Lord's Day as something that is different, that God has set aside for himself and for you. And especially use it for corporate worship, use it for prayer, for being in the Word on your own, in your family, for pursuing God. Here's what Hebrews 10 says. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So keep it holy. Set that day apart. Second thing is, keep it happily. Keep it happily. Psalm 92 that we just prayed from a minute ago, it's titled a Psalm for the Sabbath, and it says, you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. Make a decision that you are going to enjoy God, be happy about God on his day. Rejoice that Jesus is risen from the dead on the first day of the week. Third thing, keep the Sabbath honestly. That starts with an H, for those of you who didn't know. Instead of doing what the Pharisees did, and just keeping a list, I can do this, I can't do that, be honest with yourself and be honest with God about what it is that you need to rest from on that day. I mean, it's kind of obvious that if you're itching to get into work, if you're itching to make some money on that day, that's a problem that needs to be dealt with in your heart. Those things are kind of obvious, but what else? You know, can you go out in your garden and pull weeds? Can you cook? Can you cook with a crock pot? Can you cook in your oven where you have to stir things up? That's a Pharisaical list. I'm not going to give you that. But just go to God. Pray to God in honesty. And just say to him, God, where's the work in my life that I need to rest from, that I'm able to rest from on this Lord's Day? And again, some of those things, if you've got five little kids in your house, there's going to be more works of necessity than if you don't. I understand that. But be honest with God about what it is that you actually can rest from on that day. And then finally, fourth thing, keep the Sabbath humbly. Receive it as a gift. Trust that God knows what is best on that Sabbath day. Humbly trust that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, that you're not Lord of the Sabbath, that God knows what is best for you. Another thing that we're commanded to do here is to give Sabbath rest to others. So that's built in when he says, you shall not do any work. He says, or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner, the stranger that's within your gates. What he's essentially saying is, especially pay attention to this if you are in charge of other people. If you are a father, a husband, a head of household, if you are the boss at your work, the owner of a business, remember the Sabbath in how you're going to give that Sabbath to the people who are under your leadership. If you are the owner of a business, it would be fantastic if you're able to decide to close it on Sundays. If you are managing a wing of a hospital and arranging the schedules for nurses, and some of them are going to have to be there on Sunday no matter what, don't set it up where they have to work 20 years to get seniority before they get a Sunday off. Make that rotation where you're going to give them the opportunity for Sabbath rest. If you are planning in your family, maybe sit down with your kids, sit down with your wife, and say, what can we do? You know, I know our house is going to be crazy every day, even Sundays, but what can we do? How? Just sit down and plan with your family, honestly. How can we make this day special for the Lord in our house and make something that's enjoyable, where we're enjoying God? So give that Sabbath rest to others. And then the law restrains evil. You know what the fourth commandment forbids? It forbids not doing the things that it says to do. So it forbids failing to remember and plan for the Sabbath day. It forbids working on other days, or it forbids failing to work on other days in preparation for it. It forbids failing to use it for holy purposes to the Lord. It forbids failing to give rest to others. But it also forbids these two things, the legalism of the Pharisees and the lawlessness of what Bruce Ray, in that book I mentioned a minute ago, what he calls McSabbath. I love that term, McSabbath. What's the legalism? Well, God said, he would say later on, do not turn from the law to the right or to the left. Don't turn from this law to the right of I will make a list of what can and cannot be done on this day, and that is going to be the final word. Don't resort to the legalism of the Pharisees. And on the other hand, don't go over to the lawlessness of the way that the Sabbath has been degenerated into in common culture and even within churches, largely. This idea of mixed Sabbath, you know what McDonald's is? It is a total convenience restaurant, right? I'll get my food quickly. I'll be in and out. It'll fit into my schedule. I don't have to set time apart. And that's the way so often that worship is treated by Christians, sadly. I will squeeze my worship in where I can. It had better fit into this schedule. And if it doesn't, then I'll ask the pastor, maybe we could have a worship service on Saturday instead of Sunday, because it would be really convenient if we didn't have to come on that day. Or more and more, you know, just can we shrink the worship service? We're busy people. That's this idea, well, yeah, we still got kind of a tug on our hearts that we've got to have time set aside for worship, but let's fit it into our schedule. That's the mixed Sabbath. Don't have that kind of lawlessness in your life. Let God's schedule come first. Plan your schedule around God's schedule. And don't have the lawlessness of saying, God will fit you around my schedule. And what does the law also do? What does this command do? Well, it drives us to grace. You know what we are? We're lawbreakers. We're Sabbath breakers. We're not here to try to prove that we are better than some other church at keeping the Sabbath. We're not trying to prove that we are better than some other individual sitting across the room at keeping the Sabbath. You are not going to be justified by keeping the Sabbath. You can be the best Sabbath keeper in the world and go to hell. You know what you can do, though? You can trust in Jesus. That's what the Sabbath is about. It is about the fact that the work of our salvation has not been done by us. Cannot be done by us. What a silly thing to trust in your going to church on Sundays as your hope for salvation. To trust in your Sabbath keeping as your hope for salvation. When the whole point of it is, this is the day when we remember that we couldn't do anything. That God has put us down on the ground for a day and said, you lie here, I've got this. That's what he's showing us. And this drives us to grace. It drives us to grace. If you've got a restless heart, if your heart just says, why, God, why would you make me take this whole day? There's got to be some way around this. There's good news for you. which is that you can look first and foremost to the finished work of Jesus and enter into the rest that God has provided you in Jesus. Rest that comes not just in this life. It starts in this life because we have a burden taken off of our shoulders. I no longer have a need to earn my way into heaven. Jesus has finished it. Jesus' righteous life, Jesus' righteous death, Jesus' victorious resurrection from the dead has finished the work of my salvation, and I can rest in that. And my rest, your rest, by trust, by faith in Jesus, by turning from your life, changing your way of thinking, that's called repentance, changing your way of thinking from the worldly way to embracing Jesus in faith. When you embrace Jesus in faith, He will relieve the stress of, am I going to be right before God or not? And He will give you eternal life, free of charge, eternal rest. And just close by reading this from Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. It says, to whom did He swear that He would not enter His rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the real issue here, is belief versus unbelief. But He says, therefore, while the promises of entering His rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. I want to clarify here, that is not saying you had better start keeping the Sabbath or you might show yourself not to be a believer. That's not what He means by that. He means you have entered the eternal perfected rest of Jesus the moment that you have believed. You are in His rest. You are kept by Him. You have eternal life. And so if you have a restless soul, come to Jesus and find your rest in His finished work. Let's pray. God, thank You that You have given us the gift of rest. God, I thank You for building into the very creation design a daily or a weekly day of rest for, Lord, for all of Your people across all the world, everyone that You've created. And I thank You especially for giving us who are Your children in Jesus Christ. Thank You for giving us the special enjoyment of the Lord's day, knowing that Jesus is risen from the dead. And I thank You most of all that You've given us eternal rest in Jesus, eternal life, not by our works, but by faith. And we thank You, we praise You. God, I pray that You'd help this Lord's day, not just in the time that we've had now, but for the rest of this day that You've set aside. It's one whole day out of seven. God, help us to enjoy You, to love You, to rest in You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.